Hey, Connecticut, this is Donnie Vansley, and you're listening to Connecticut's Country Podcast.
From Stamford to Putnam, from Salisbury to Mystic, Connecticut's Country Podcast.
Hey, what's up, Connecticut? I am Josh Maddy, and this is Connecticut's Country Podcast. Thanks so much for clicking that play button and joining us for a new episode. We release new episodes every single Thursday, so make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an interview. This week's country artist interview is an interesting story that I can't wait to dive into and hear more about. Not only is this guy a singer-songwriter out in Nashville trying to make a name for himself, but he's also a doctor. He's a chiropractor helping people. He's got a new song out called Country Girl In You. He's a busy dude. I don't know how he has time for it all, even making time for us here on Connecticut's Country Podcast. Without further ado, this week's country artist interview, Donnie Vansley.
Josh, thanks so much for having me.
Of course, man. So Donnie, you have such an interesting story and I can't wait to chat about it all. You're a chiropractor, you're a singer-songwriter, living out in Nashville, trying to make a name for yourself. You have a new song out right now called Country Girl In You. But first, before we talk about that, what is your first memory with music?
My first memory of music is when my grandparents used to pick me up and take me to do things with them. We'd always used to sing I've Been Working on the Railroad in the car together. And I think that's the first time I've ever remember singing.
Is there a story behind that song? That's an interesting song.
No, I was so young that they just always sang that one song. And it was my grandpa, my grandma, and me in the back seat. I just remember just singing that with them all the time. And then my mom, she grew me up with Tom Petty. And so, yeah, just nothing. Like, my parents are, like, not, like, musicians or anything, but they always had, like, an appreciation. Same thing with my grandparents.
Would you consider Tom Petty to be a musical inspiration for you in terms of kind of getting you writing songs? Or was there anybody else that was an inspiration for you?
That's a good question. So Tom Petty is my mom's favorite musician. And so the first song I ever learned was Free Falling by Tom Petty, so I could sing it for my mom. And that inspired me. He inspired me to, like, learn my first song. But in terms of, like, my own style, I would say Jack Johnson in the beginning. I discovered him in high school. And now it's Zach Bryan, now that I'm here in Nashville.
I actually did a deep dive on your YouTube and saw a video from 6 years ago where you sang the song For You, which you wrote for your brother getting ready for his wedding. I heard the Jack Johnson vibe in that one. I could definitely see where you were pulling from Jack Johnson.
Jack, he's great. He has this tone about him. There's no rasp to him. It's just like a ya-da-da-da, and he's just like singing like that. But then when I got to Nashville, people were requesting a bunch of country, so I had to, like, kind of find my country sound. So I went with more of a raspy Tyler Childers, Zach Bryan kind of thing, because it's almost the same thing. It's just they put a little rasp to it, and their lyrics aren't as happy as Jack. And so I kind of just fit in that genre. But, yeah, Jack Johnson, that's actually how I started playing guitar. Like, once I, you know, learned that Tom Petty song, finally discovered Jack Johnson, that was, like, my first, like, artist that I fell in love with, and I just wanted to learn a ton of songs about. So I remember sitting in my room for hours just playing Jack Johnson songs, and he got me going. Eventually I started to play shows, like, around town, and I realized that I can do that, and I was like, man, I should probably learn more than just Jack Johnson. And then that's the snowball effect from there.
I could be mistaken on this, but one of your first live performances was at an Applebee's?
One of my first performances when I was in chiropractor school was at Applebee's.
And how did that come about?
I was playing back at home where I'm from, my hometown, for about three to five years. And then I went to chiropractor school on the West Coast in Daytona Beach. And I told myself that I wouldn't play through chiropractor school. I was just going to focus on chiropractic. But one night I was at Applebee's and with some buddies, and some other guys sat down next to us in the next table. And my buddies found out that they own a bar and they have live music. And my buddies told the guy that I'm a musician. And somehow they got me to grab my guitar and bring it into Applebee's. And I sang American Pie. And then that was funny. That was crazy. And then the Applebee's manager, they bought all of our food and drinks. It was fun. And then the guy hired me. That started my gigging in chiropractic school. I was like, all right, I guess I have to keep going with the music.
That performance at the Applebee's went well. You have all this musical talent. What inspired you to be a chiropractor?
The reason why I wanted to be a chiropractor was to help people through holistic techniques other than using medication. So the chiropractor looks at the whole body, gets the root cause of what's going on in your body. And when you get adjusted, that makes your brain and your nervous system function better. So it's just such a cool thing. People think that chiropractic is all about pain, but it's actually about function. So chiropractic is really cool. My friends were chiropractors, so they told me to go to chiropractor school. I also wanted to make my mom proud and wanted to be a doctor and get a good education, just make sure that I'm set for the rest of my life.
So how did you end up finding your way to Nashville?
I've been living off of my music, playing in tiki huts, breweries, restaurants for like 10 years. And, before I went to I was playing for like 5 years. I went to chiropractic school. I played all the way through chiropractic school. At that point, when that guy hired me, the guy that owned the bar, I just started playing a bunch of shows in chiropractic school. So I played 3-4 shows a week while I was in school. And eventually, it was time to graduate. And so I chose to do an internship in Colorado for chiropractic. And that's what led me to Nashville, was because I was driving from Florida to Colorado to do my internship, and I passed through Nashville, and then I discovered Nashville.
And you said to yourself, oh, wow, how did I never know about this place before?
Dude, seriously. Yes, man. Like, I've never seen anything like Broadway before. Like I said, I've been playing through like 10 years, and like all of a sudden I see all these neon lights. There's multiple buildings with live music with multiple levels. I'm just going crazy. And so I emailed a bunch of places, and one of them got back to me.
And that's what kind of lit the fuse inside of you in terms of taking something that was, music seems like it was always a love for you, but that's kind of what set you on this path, that experience in Nashville for the first time?
Correct, because I was planning on opening up my own practice in Florida, a chiropractic practice in Florida once I graduated. And honestly, that was probably going to be it, man. Like, looking back, that was probably going to be it. I would have, like, played some gigs on the weekends, but nothing like it is now. Like, now I'm here in Nashville and I'm going for it.
You know what that makes me think of? It makes me think of the famous quote, "Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans." That's a crazy story, man.
So crazy. And it's just like a crazy story how, like, they even, like, answered the, like, they called me and they had me audition. That's just wild, too, that whole part of it.
Do you ever kind of get tired of being asked about the chiropractic stuff and you want to just focus on the music thing? Or is this just kind of part of your story that you embrace?
Oh, man, I love chiropractic. I actually got you get 3 awards for a class. You get valedictorian, you get salutatorian, and then you get this philosophy award for chiropractic. And I was granted the philosophy award for chiropractic in my class, which is basically given to somebody who just loves chiropractic and is like, just understands it and that whole idea. So I love chiropractic. So I'm happy to talk about it. That's one of my missions is to kind of spread the word about chiropractic, and it's not just pain related. So yeah, I love talking about it.
Where are you now with that part of your life? Are you still working full-time doing chiropractic, or are you more in the music lane at the moment? Or
I live off of my music, as I've always been. Like, I pay my bills with my music. I do have $116,000 out to pay off in student loans.
Oh, wow. So, sounds like my life.
Yeah. So I practiced for a year here in Nashville and stopped working there. And I'm actually about to start another job as a chiropractor. I'm going to practice one more year, pay off the loans. And then I'll figure out from there because, you know, it's good pay. I don't mind doing it. And so that can fund, you know, albums, that can fund marketing. I'm just going to use it to my advantage.
So when you first got to Nashville, you started sending emails, reaching out and trying to grow some relationships. And you got emailed back by Tootsies, and they enrolled you in what's called, I've never heard of this before, Honky Tonk School. What in the world is Honky Tonk School?
Yeah. So I'll backtrack. When I was in Colorado, so I get to Colorado, right? I'm doing my internship. Actually, I did a bunch of shows while I was in Colorado too. That was cool. And I emailed a bunch of places. Tootsies gets back to me. I audition. They get back to me, and then we schedule an audition where I get done in Colorado. I'm driving back to Florida to graduate school, right? So I'm driving back home. I get done with my internship in Colorado. I'm driving back home. I audition at Tootsies. They hire me on the spot. And then they're like, yeah, we want to hire you. So long story short, I go graduate. I move here to Nashville. And yeah, they put me in something called Honky Tonk School, which is basically where they put you with a training band. And the guitar player, or he's like either the guitar player or the bass player, he's telling you what to do on stage while like an actual gig is going on. And he was actually kind of an asshole to me.
I was gonna say, what's the vibe of this Honky Tonk School? Oh, they're like, you're not doing this correct. You gotta get it together.
Yeah, you need to lose some weight, and you need to get some boots, and you need to learn the song, and you gotta go run the tip bucket. And it was brutal, man.
Donnie Van Slee, give me 30 laps around the bar right now.
Seriously, give me some push-ups. Like the big boss, he's a veteran of war, and so he's a hard ass. And his trainers for these bands, they kind of picked up on that hard ass culture. And yeah, man, they beat me down because I'm from Florida, right? And I didn't expect to get hired to play at Tootsies. I was just kind of like sent out emails, and they got back to me, and I was good enough. I auditioned and they hired me. And then I moved here, and they're like, yeah, obviously you know a ton of country songs, and I just didn't. So that was on me. And one of the newest things that I had to do that I wasn't used to was run the tip bucket. That was like terrifying to me, but they made me do it. And yeah, that was something, man. That was something.
Tell me about what the audition was like for Tootsies. Were you like standing there on stage sweating and nervous, or were you just like having a good time? Like, hey, whatever happens, happens.
I was having such a good time. So I get there, right? The audition's at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. So when you think 10 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, you think, okay, no one's going to be there. I get there. The place is completely packed, right? I bring my acoustic guitar. I didn't even need it, right? I get into he pulls me into the VIP section. He's like, hey, what are you going to play? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, all right, well, you better figure it out. And then he looks at the guy that's on stage, like the lead singer. He goes, hey, get off stage. I want to hear this guy. So he throws me up on stage, the full piece band I never played with before, the complete packed crowd. This is in Tootsie's main stage. Band looks at me. They're like, what do you want to do? And I was like, Good Directions by Billy Currington. Because that was like literally one of the only country songs I knew. And they played it and we kicked ass. And he was like, when you coming back? And I was like, June. He's like, you're hired. Play another one. And then I played You Never Even Called Me By My Name by David Allan Coe. And I was just having a blast, man. I was just singing with the crowd. And the crowd was singing, you know. And I just had a good time. And then he pulled me off on stage. And then he put me on another stage. Because there's three stages, Tootsies. Tootsies is three stages. So he puts me in the next stage. He's like, hey, get off stage. I want to hear this guy. Then I play Mama Don't Let Your Baby Grow Up to Be Cowboys. And that was it. The rest is history. Yeah, it was wild, man. I didn't expect to like be put on like these bands that I didn't even know, with like full crowds. I thought I was just going to bring my acoustic and sing to him or something. I don't know.
You've had a lot of practice at it since that first audition. You've been performing for a while on Broadway. What's it like looking into the crowd and seeing the audience loving your original music?
It's cool. You can't really play much original music when you're playing with the band, because the band has to know your original stuff, right? And the bands that you play with on Broadway, they aren't really your bands. They are musicians that are placed together for a band shift. And you just got to know Broadway standards. Like, you just got to know.
Seems almost very like robotic, like you're kind of like filtering in and out of a shift. Kind of.
Yes, it is. It very much is. But I play acoustic shifts too. Like right now, I'm actually going to play an acoustic shift in about half an hour. And that I could play as many original songs as I want. And there was this one time where this guy, he walked in, and apparently we met a couple months prior somewhere in Nashville. And apparently he looked up my music and he walked in. I didn't recognize him, but he's like, Donnie Vance Lee. And I was like, I don't know who you are. And then I started playing my originals, and then he started singing all this, like singing with me all like the words to my songs.
Oh, wow.
And that was so cool. That was such a cool moment. He took a picture with me, and that was like, that was a dream come true right there. When someone that you don't even know singing your songs at the top of their lungs. Yeah. Amazing. Beautiful.
What are some of the, you mentioned some things about how it works to perform on Broadway, like the acoustic shows and the bands. Those are a little bit different from one another. What's some of the biggest challenges performing on Broadway? Anything specific?
The biggest challenge is really just knowing the songs that people request. You just can't know every single song. That's a short, sweet answer for that. Because people just request songs I don't know every single day. And you just gotta continuously learn them, or you negotiate with them like, hey, I don't know that Tim McGraw song, but I can play this one. Or people request Zach Bryan that songs I don't even know, and I'm like the biggest Zach Bryan fan, and like I still don't know all of them. And so it's just really like knowing the songs.
When you were performing on stage one time, someone gave you a $100 bill when you were playing the song In the Bucket with all the stickers on it.
Yes.
That must have been a pretty cool experience.
Yeah. So for those listeners that don't know, In the Bucket with All Stickers On, a song I wrote about playing on Broadway, leaving my parents behind in Florida, and just making a living here. And the song goes, if you want to hear your song, that's a $20 bill in the bucket with all the stickers on it. And if you're loving what you hear, throw down a $100 bill in the bucket with all the stickers on it. So I played that song and I debuted it on Broadway, and someone threw in $100. It was just so cool.
One of those like very satisfying feelings for you? Like, you know, this is working. Things are working right now.
Seriously, man, it was. And half of the reason I wrote that song was so I can play a song on Broadway, original song of mine that I can play with the band, and also so we can make a little bit more money.
I was going to say, it's kind of ironic that song almost encompasses your struggles of your journey. And then someone's like, here's $100 for you.
Yeah, it's just, I love that song, man. It's my favorite song because it's like one of my only songs that's not a love song. That was so cool. The guy, he made sure I saw the $100 and then he threw it down. Like, he like just threw that sucker in there. It was so cool. And he just walked away with his wife. It was so cool.
When you're not playing on Broadway, I can't imagine. I'm curious if you still do this during the winter time. But when you're not playing on Broadway, you go to the pedestrian bridge that connects Nissan Stadium to downtown to perform.
Yep, I'm actually sitting in that parking lot right now as we speak. Not during the winter time though. I tried, and my fingers literally won't move. But days that I don't have a show during like spring, summer, fall, I go out there and throw out my tip bucket. It's fun. Make some money too.
Was there something that inspired you doing that? Like, did it make you feel more connected with your fans, or anything specific that said, hey, I'm going to go out to this bridge and perform outside?
to be honest with you, I walk this bridge every single time I have to do a gig, and I do gigs 2 to 5 times a week, and I walk this bridge every single time, because if you park at Nissan Stadium and you walk the bridge all the way to Broadway, you don't have to pay for parking. The bridge is over like this nice body of water, and it's just really pretty, and there's people out there, you know, just chilling with their families, and I'm like, I mean, this would be really cool if I could bring out my you know, my guitar, sing out here. And that's what I did. And it really helps supplement slow seasons. Winter actually is the slow season, but you can't play out there when it's super cold. But there are days when it's like 50 degrees. I could play in like 40 degree weather, but anything lower than 40 degrees, my fingers, I will, but my fingers just won't move.
I could imagine seeing someone in Connecticut performing on the side of the street or in a little park, and I would think maybe this guy is down on his luck or something. You know, ever have any strange experiences?
I try to look as presentable and clean out there as possible.
No one's confused you as being a homeless guy or?
Right. Like, I try to look clean. I try to, like, my sign, I try to tell you as clean and, like, nice as possible. But I have had strange interactions before, for sure.
What inspires you to be so into Zach Bryant?
Zach is a poet, and he just happens to know how to play guitar and sing and put that into like a music. But he's a poet. He's a poet, and his lyrics are amazing. Tyler Childers' lyrics are amazing. Love his songs. I just love them. It's as simple as that. His lyrics are written in such a clever way to portray his emotions. And there's a difference between him and Jack Johnson, right? Jack Johnson, he's from Hawaii, and he writes about basically his love for his wife. So it's always usually like happy songs for the most part. Even if they're happy, they're in like a happy, or even if they're sad, they're in like a happy sounding vibe. But Zach, he can write a happy song, but he has this grist, his grasp. It's almost like a howl, like Don's. It's hard to explain, but he's doing something with music that gets really deep into the heart, and people are responding to it. I'm responding to it, and that's I love Zach Bryant.
You kind of pitched a song to him, and he gave you some advice. I'd love to hear about that.
So I met Zach in September. He was at my buddy's writer's round. And long story short, my buddy just texted me. I go there, and I just sit down next to his buddies, and I start talking to him. That's like the short story to it. I told him, I was like, hey, man, I wrote a song based off of Heading South the same day that you released Burn, Burn, Burn. He's like, oh, dude, I got to hear it. I'm like, no way. Give him the song. He starts listening to it. He tells me it's a beautiful song. And he's like, yeah, this is Burn, Burn, Burn. Like, I mean, not, he's like, no. He's like, yeah, this is Heading South. Like, sounds like Heading South. And he kind of looks at me like, what, are you trying to copy me? And then I looked at it and I was like, yeah. But I remember in an interview, you said that people used to criticize you for trying to sound like Tyler Childers. And then you said that I thought that's what a genre is. And then he looked at me and he laughed and he was like, all right. And then he just kept listening and told me it was a beautiful song. And that was that. So I'm openly not trying to sound like him, but going down that genre.
Hey, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, right?
Well, you know, I'm from Florida. So a big, I say that because the beach and Jack Johnson, he's from Hawaii, the beach. So my roots are Jack Johnson. And I moved to Nashville. And then I had to like find a country sound. So I chose that Zach Bryan, Tyler Childers. So I got this mix between Jack and Zach. And you can hear that in my songs. Like, there's some songs that sound really Jack Johnson-y. Some sound Zach. And then there's some like together. And I mean, I'm just a musician like anyone else. I just love music. I love my favorite artists. And I'm just writing songs. I remember listening to a song, an interview with Bruno Mars. And they're like, you're trying to like be like Michael Jackson, right? And he's like, hell yeah, I'm trying to be like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's a shit. And he's like, however, I'm not Michael Jackson. I'm Bruno Mars. So as much as I try to sound like Michael Jackson, I'm not him. So, yeah, that's my.
That's a fascinating thought. It's almost like kind of absorbing different traits of other people and bringing them into what you consider your sound, kind of melting pot of
yeah.
different attributes.
Absolutely. It's like you are who the five closest people are to you in your life. Like you pick up traits of the closest people in your life. And I'm basically the closest five favorite artists of mine.
I have to say that takes a lot of cojones to just walk up to Zach Bryan and his buddies and be like, hey, what's up? Want to hear this song?
Yeah, man. So I gave you the short story, but I had to take two shots of Jameson. yeah, I saw him. I was like, holy cow, Zach. I go to the bar, take two shots, and my buddy's like, dude, you don't look good. I'm like, I'm about to go over there right now. And it was that same feeling you get when you're about to jump off a really high tree into like a river. And you can't think about it. You just got to do it. And I just did it because I was like, there's no way I'm going to get another chance to meet this guy. Sitting down. He's like sitting down with his buddies, just chilling. And there's no way I'm going to meet him in this kind of scenario ever again. So I did it. And I sat down and I listened into his conversation like a creep until he like acknowledged me. Yeah. He's like, I was going to say more, but this guy just sits down next to us. And I was like, hey, man. Don't know if I can come up to you or say hi or whatnot. And he's like, oh, you're good, friend. What's up? And I'm like, I'm Donnie. I'm Zach. We shake hands. And then he invites me in the conversation.
I could only imagine like one of his buddies to the left. Like, anybody know who this guy is over here?
Yeah.
where'd this guy come from?
Yeah, right.
Was this during this conversation or another conversation with Zach? Zach told you some advice that you ended up running with and using to stop playing covers and pushing your original music?
Yeah, so it was that same conversation. I only met him that one time. We got to talking. I showed him my song. He's like, it's a beautiful song. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, you're great. And I'm like, really? And, you know, because it's coming from like, it's like literally my favorite artist, man. Zach's like my number one guy. He's like telling me he loves my song. It's beautiful. He starts singing the lyrics. It's just an incredible moment. And yeah, I just was like asking him some advice. I was like, dude, I cover your songs. And he's like, let me tell you something. He's like, stop covering songs and just start playing your original music. And he just makes this strong eye contact with me. He's like, dude, just trust me. And that stuck with me. So I play a lot more original songs now. And because I have to play more original songs in my head, I have to, because Zach told me, like, dude, you got to. I put more oomph into the songs that I my songs, because like you got your favorite songs that you can cover, right? Like I love his song Burn Burn Burn. Like I love the shit out of that song, and I just put this so much passion into my voice when I sing that song. But I limit myself to the amount of times I play covers, so that forces me to put that same passion into the songs that I've written, if that makes sense. I also asked him like how often he writes. He said that he writes 5 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, dang. All right. I guess I got to write more. And yeah, it was just a really cool conversation.
Why do you think up and coming artists are so apprehensive to sing original songs? Is it because the covers kind of create that instant connection with a crowd, or are new up and comers kind of nervous to explore their originals with a crowd, or why do you think they're more drawn to just kind of, I don't want to say play it safe, but why do you think you and other artists play, you know, covers so much more frequently when you're getting started?
Because that's the easiest way to get good at your craft. Cover songs are like, they're just already created. They already are a successful formula of a song that's a good song. So if you can just sing the song good, if you could just sing it and you could play the song good, then it sounds good and people like it. There is an extra step when it comes to actually creating a song. It's not a proven success, if you will. Because, like, if you're covering a song, you've heard it, people heard it, and it's a successful song. But a song that you've written, you have to come up with everything. There's not a template, and you're not following a you're not following a successful path or template, if you will.
Do you enjoy the work that goes into creating something new?
I love the fact that my job is to be creative and to come up with lyrics to songs that kind of just express what I'm going through, and hopefully other people can relate to it. There's times where it's challenging, you know, but I'm starting to figure out other ways to pull lyrics out of my conscious, like go to parks, go to like pretty places. Don't just sit in my room. You know, I used to just sit in my room all the time and just force myself to write something. Now I go to like, there's this park in Nashville called the Parthenon. It's such a, I think Bicentennial Park. It's such a pretty park, and I sit next to the water there, and usually something comes out.
You have a new song called Country Girl In You, and that was just released not too long ago, and I've been watching your IG stories pop up, and it seems like there's a lot of excitement surrounding that song. What has that been like?
That's been cool. The song that we put out, it's actually a short version to the original way that song is written. There's like a long intro and a long outro, and I might actually talk to my producer about putting out an extended version, but people are loving that song. It's really cool to see, you know, that I just put so much effort into writing that song, and it's just so cool that people are jamming out to it. I asked Zach Bryan, I was like, dude, how does it feel to have people like sing your song, like thousands of people? And he just said, it's beautiful, man. So I'm just going to say it's a beautiful feeling, because he hit it on the spot. He hit it on the target when he said that. Like, it's just a beautiful thing. And people like sing your songs, love your songs. Yeah, it's just so cool. Very thankful.
I love the little instrumental ditty at the beginning of that song.
Of Country Girl On You?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess I did post the longer version on my Instagram. Yeah. Yeah. And that is inspired by like an old country chord progression that my old teacher, guitar teacher, back where I'm from in Wickiwashi, he taught me that. I went home for Christmas, and he's like, hey, I know you're in Nashville now. I'm going to teach you this little country chord progression. And I was like, this is cool. I'm going to write a song with this. And then I just sent it to him, and he was like, holy cow, you actually wrote a song. It was funny.
You're from a town called, how did you pronounce it? Wishy-washy?
Wiki-washy.
That's an interesting that's an interesting name for a town.
It's it means winding river in Cherokee, I believe. I believe it's Cherokee. Don't quote me on that. And it's a spring. It's we have this mermaid show that's been going on since the 40s. Yep, a mermaid show. These girls, they dress up in mermaids. It's like an underwater amphitheater. They got hoses with oxygen in them, and they do all these, like, I think it's like the Little Mermaid. They like reenact it. It's pretty cool. Jimmy Buffett had them like in a music video once. Yeah. So yeah.
You ever go see the show?
I've seen like half of it, and then yeah, I've seen like half of it.
The we don't have interesting names like that here in Connecticut. I think the closest interesting town name to us is a couple towns in Rhode Island. I think they're impossible. I've been told they're impossible to pronounce, some towns in Rhode Island.
Yeah, Wickiwashi, you definitely can't pronounce the first time you see it.
You mentioned Zach Bryan's answer to you about crowd singing back his music. And I recently, thanks to you, I have to say, I checked out his recently uploaded live album that he put out. And some of the crowd singing, it was at Red Rock, and some of the crowd singing back to him, his music, that was like really epic. So I have to thank you for mentioning that, because I checked it out after, and it was really cool.
Heck yeah. Sweet. Yeah, after hearing him play at Red Rocks, I told myself I want to play there in 5 years. So 5 years from whenever this podcast comes out, and look at forward back 5 years, we'll be playing Red Rocks.
Why specifically Red Rock, with how many, with tons of big venues out there, like the Bluebird Cafe, which I think you've played, and the Grand Ole Opry, and why specifically Red Rock?
I feel like if you play Red Rocks, you've like made it, and you don't want to just say like, hey kid, what do you want to do? Not that I'm like a kid, just turned 30, but like, hey kid, what do you want to do out here? I'm like, oh, I want to make it. It's like, you gotta have like a really specific like thing. So I'm saying Red Rocks, cause like, you can't just play Red Rocks. Like, you gotta like be successful to play Red Rocks. And I made like a vision board. I have like this whole vision board with Red Rocks on it, and I look at it every day. And yeah, I know that I'm kind of just looking at the progression of Zach's career, and he debuted at the Opry. I don't know if it was like 2000. I don't know if it was like 19, 20, 20, 21. It was somewhere there, but the Opry came first. And then I think then he played at the Ryman, and then he finally played Red Rock. So I'm just looking at like that progression.
What else is on that vision board of yours?
It's just Red Rocks, man. That's it. I just want to play Red Rocks. I feel like if I could just play Red Rocks, and what's cool, Josh, is like, when I think of Red Rocks, I'm like, well, what do I want to sing there? So when I'm writing songs now, it's like, man, I'm going to like sing this at Red. Like, I want to write songs that I will enjoy playing at Red Rocks. And like, I will enjoy like interacting with the crowd. You know what I mean? Like, I'm preparing my songs for, like, it's kind of the same idea I wrote in the buck with all the stickers on it. I wrote that so I can have something to sing on Broadway. Like Zach Bryan's All Night Revival.
But
like,
I love that song.
He closes that song. He closed the show with that song. And like, it's just like the perfect song for him to like introduce the band or to say goodbye with the band. Like things like that, you know. I know that American Pie by Don McLean. He wrote that song, American Pie, because he wanted a grand finale song for his shows. So kind of the same idea. I'm just like writing songs now with
That's some a fascinating thought. Never from a creative side, I've never thought about a singer or artist doing that before, in terms of like a big final song to lead off the stage with. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool when I read that.
Zach Bryan, one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of Zach's is because when I first heard his song, or some of his songs rather, the way he recorded his music, I don't know if you picked up on this too, but it felt like you were in the room with him, like the way it was, the songs were produced.
Yeah, absolutely. My producer was trying to figure out, like, because like when he was writing, when we were recording Country Girl and You, not that it sounds really Zach Bryan, it sounds something, it just sounds like its own thing, actually. That's what I mean by that. It's like you try to sound like somebody, but then you just kind of like have this own thing. But we finally figured it out. Like, Zach, he doesn't use like any effects for the most part. Well, I mean, I'm talking like I'm an Zach Bryan expert here. I'm just, I'm some guy.
Yeah, this is turning into a like Zach Bryan 101.
Yeah, like, please take this with a grain of salt. I'm just some guy. I'm just like another fan. I just happen to play music. But basically what we've figured out is like just to not put any effects and just let the sound of the natural sound of the microphone come through.
I have to say, though, I am enjoying talking about this, though, because when I first discovered Zach, he's one of those artists that you kind of latch onto right away because he's an up-and-comer and you feel in your heart that not a lot of people know about him yet. And he's that artist that you think, like, ah, oh, when other people discover this guy, maybe it's not going to be the same. And there's just, like, a lot of excitement surrounding an artist like Zach.
Yeah, he's awesome. And it's just cool that I've met him.
What else can people from Connecticut learn about you?
Well, I just want to say thank you guys for listening to my story. Basically, I'm putting out a bunch of songs this year. I'm going to be putting out one at least every 6 weeks this whole year. I'm a chiropractor, like you said. I'm an uncle, big family man. I scuba dive. I'm a scuba diver. Not much. I would say, any advice I can give somebody is just follow your dreams. It's not too late to follow your dreams. You're never too old to follow your dreams. I'm 30, and some people say that's young. Some people say that's old. But, you know, there's a lot of younger people here in Nashville. And sometimes I feel like, you know, maybe I maybe get a little old. And then sometimes I'm looking at people like, I don't know, Chase Rice. He's like 37, 38. And Chris Stapleton, he's up there too. He didn't get discovered till like in his 40s. So it's just like, you know, you're never too late to follow your dreams. Education is a good thing. I got one. And I have so much leverage when it comes to chiropractic. Like, I could make my own, like, Tootsie's works around my chiropractic schedule, right? And then my chiropractic works around Tootsie's. So I have this cool leverage of power that I have because I got this cool education.
Donnie Van Slee, so it was so much fun to be able to chat with you and learn a little bit more about your career and your background story. And I hope people check out your song on Spotify and all your other music as well that you have streaming. And we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on the show and talk.
Yeah, Josh, thanks so much for having me. Super grateful. I'm super grateful that you asked me to be on here. I'm super grateful for all the people in Connecticut. I'm definitely going to come visit that state one day.
That is going to do it for this week's country artist interview. Thank you again to Donnie Van Slee for being a part of it and making some time to be on the show. We'll be back next Thursday for a brand new artist interview, talking to another big name that you don't want to miss. In the meantime, follow us on social media at Connecticut's Country Podcast on Instagram, CT Country Pod on Twitter. You can look us up on Facebook as well, facebook.com/Connecticut's Country Podcast. We'd love a follow on there. We'd love if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes to subscribe to wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast. Follow along. And most importantly, Connecticut, we appreciate that you're listening. We so appreciate that. I am Josh Matty, and we'll talk next week, next Thursday.
You can't spell country without CT, Connecticut's Country Podcast. From Stamford to Putnam, from Salisbury to Mystic, Connecticut's Country Podcast.